Certo. Yes. Não, tudo legal, só um pouco lá. No, I'm not sure. Is this one still recording? Yes, it's still recording. Okay. I'm going to try this a little different way and try to get everything recorded where we should go. Okay, somebody else say something so I can make sure this is going to switch screens.
Hello. Something. Today
Let's
is Thursday. Yeah, you sound a little better, Roger.
today. That's good.
A little bit.
What's good over here? So hopefully that one will record, right? We'll go from there. You just let this one record the way it is. All right. Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Roger Paul, and tonight we're going to study paper 181, Final Admonitions and Warnings. And that starts on page 1953 of the original book, or paper 18101, the rest of it. And let's swap it. I keep my brain straight. Swap the slides out here. We'll get started. Just like to start out tonight. Paper 181, Final Admonitions, Admonitions and Warnings. That's a tongue twister. After the conclusion of the farewell discourse to the 11, Jesus visited informally with them and recounted many experiences which concerned them as a group and as individuals. At last, it was beginning to dawn upon these Galileans that their friend and teacher was going to leave them. Their hope grasped at the promise that after a little while he would again be with them. But they were prone to forget that this return visit was also for a little while. Many of the apostles and the leading disciples really thought that this promise to return for a short season, a short interval between the resurrection and ascension, indicated that Jesus was going away for a brief visit with his Father, after which he would return to establish the kingdom. And such as an interpretation of his teachings conformed both with their preconcerned beliefs, conceived beliefs, and their ardent hopes, since their lifelong beliefs and hopes of the wish fulfillment was thus agreed. It was not difficult for them to find an interpretation of the master's words which would justify their intense longings. So they still thought he was going to come back and establish the kingdom. They never could get the idea that the kingdom was already established within them,
They
right?
didn't realize the
Now,
little while was 36 hours or whatever.
yeah, very, very little while, right? Now this is only 52 slides tonight. We should get through this, but if not, if y'all will bear with me, if it goes over a little bit, because this is some of these paragraphs are long. So
Okay.
if y'all would like to, we'll try to get through the whole thing tonight, see what we're
Definitely.
on.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's keep going. Let's you're up next on my list, so would you take the next one?
Okay. After the farewell discourse had been discussed and had begun to settle down in their minds, Jesus again called the apostles to order and began the impartation of his final admonitions and warnings.
So this is really the last time he spoke to them in such a way, right? All
Right.
right, Pam, would you take the next? Yes.
Okay, one last words of comfort. When the 11 had taken their seats, Jesus stood and addressed them. As long as I am with you in the flesh, I can be but one individual in your mind, in your
In your
midst.
midst, yeah.
Yeah, or in the entire world. But when I have been delivered from this investment of mortal nature, I will be able to return as a spirit indweller of each of you and
of all other believers in this gospel of the kingdom. In this way, the Son of Man will become a spiritual incarnation in the souls of all true believers. I wonder
Now,
who got that? Who understood that?
probably none of them, you know, and it's kind of funny if we think about the first six bestowals, when he gave up his investiture of that type of being, it was a lot different than dying as a human, wasn't it? Because he could just transform himself back into his original state, where in this case, he actually has to go through the experience of death. So it's a little bit different.
I've got a question.
Yeah.
And then he's saying,
Oh, I want me to go back, Rodney?
No. Oh,
Yeah.
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 He says, but when I have been delivered from this investment, moral, let's see.
Next one, I think. Next slide. I think it's in the next slide, Rodney.
No, this was the one we just read.
This is the one we just read.
I can be a, let's see. Oh, yeah.
You're right.
As long as I'm with you in the flesh, I can be but one individual in your midst or in the entire world. When he's referring to world there, is he saying the world of the flesh? The material
Yes, the world.
World?
Well, the world that he's in now, it is in flesh, but he can only be one person at one time in one place. That's what he's saying.
Well, what I'm
Okay.
getting at, when he poured out the Spirit of Truth, was it poured out in his entire universe?
Yes,
it seems
it
to me it
was.
would have been.
Yeah, it was. The thing of it is, from my understanding, the realization of that would not come to all the planets until a bestowal son has finished his mission. So it happens the same way on all the planets.
Okay.
Even though the Spirit of Truth is there, they're not aware of it. You see what I'm saying? The difference? After the bestowal son, you know, like a magisterial son or Trinity
Correct.
teacher son, finishes his mission and he dies in that planet in the flesh, then the Spirit of Truth is literally poured out to that planet as a new realization. So it's already there, but they don't realize it's there. You see the
It would be
difference?
Michael's spirit.
It would be Michael's spirit at that.
Okay.
Does that make sense? So it's a little bit different, but I want to bring up a point here because we're talking about Jesus being everywhere at the same time. He physically could not do that as a material being, right? He could only do that through the pouring out of the Spirit of Truth, and then he can be in each and every individual at the same time.
I just thought because it was actually Michael who lived the flesh, that it
Right.
made a connection with the Father to allow his spirit to be poured out into his universe.
Right. And that's true. And
Okay.
That is true. Yeah. It happens throughout his entire universe. But the realization of that spirit, it does not come until a bestowal son comes to that planet. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Much like I can give you an akin to that, and that is the fact that the thought adjusters come to each and every individual just like they do on our planet. So in the early days, when people are barbarians and they have no concept of spiritual things, then the thought adjusters don't indwell
Of
some of those
course.
people. You know, but when they have any inkling of a spiritual nature, then of course the thought adjuster comes. And probably Michael's spirit works the same way and comes at the same time as the thought adjuster.
It almost, his spirit almost furnishes a link for the
The thought
thought of
adjuster.
spirit to be
That's
poured out
exactly,
as well.
that's a, yeah, that's exactly right. All right. Okay, I think Pam, I think you're up next. Did you just read?
Did Gary read?
No, but I'm last.
No,
I
you're last, and he's last, and I think Letch just read, didn't he?
Yes. Okay.
Okay, so you're up, Pam.
When I have returned to live in you and work through you, I can lead you on through this life and guide you through the many abodes in the future life in the heaven of heavens. Life in the Father's eternal creation is not an endless rest of idleness or and selfish ease, but rather a ceaseless progression in grace, truth, and glory. Each of the many, many stations in my Father's house is a stopping place, a life designed to prepare you for the next one ahead. And so will the children of light go on from glory to glory until they attain the divine estate wherein they are spiritually perfected, even as the Father is perfect in all things.
Do you see
That
how
says it all.
this indicates that Jesus stays or Michael stays with us all the way through the local universe? You see that?
He's our
So the
God.
Spirit, yeah, he's our guide to the entire local universe. All right. Roddy, would you take the next?
If you would follow after me when I leave you, put forth your earnest efforts to live in accordance with the spirit of my teachings and with the ideal of my life, the doing of the Father's will. This do instead of trying to imitate my natural life in the flesh, as I have, perforce, been required to live it on this world.
So we're not supposed to imitate Jesus, are we? We're supposed to follow after his teachings. Gary, would you stop kissing that dog and read?
Go, go.
Yeah.
All righty. You ready?
Yeah.
The Father sent me into this world, but only a few of you have chosen fully to receive me. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, but all men will not choose to receive this new teacher as the guide and counselor of the soul. But as many as do receive him shall be enlightened, cleansed, and comforted. And this spirit of truth will become in them a well of living water springing up into eternal life.
Notice that you can reject the spirit of truth just like you can reject God. Do you see that? So, of course, those Jews that rejected Jesus were rejecting the spirit of truth as well. You understand that? And now, as I am about to leave you, I would speak words of comfort. Peace I live with you, my peace I give to you. I make these gifts not as the world gives by measure. I give each of you all you will receive. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be fearful. I have overcome the world, and in me you shall all triumph through faith. I have warned you that the Son of Man will be killed, but I assure you that I will come back before I go to the Father, even though it be for only a little while, and after I have ascended to the Father. I will surely send the new teacher to be with you and to abide in your very hearts. And when you see all this to come to pass, be not dismayed, but rather believe, inasmuch as you knew all it all beforehand. I have loved you with a great affection, and I would not leave you. But it is the Father's will, my hour has come. Right. What is his hour has come, he keeps talking about?
About
Don't.
the
That he ascends. He is saying his death, right? And
Yeah.
everything
No, I
comes to
think it's a
pass.
crucifixion because his hour
Right.
has come to end
End
the
his life. That's
yes
right.
on
The
earth.
bestowal. Yeah. That's the end of the bestowal, right? When he passes. All right. All right. Letch, would you take the next one?
Doubt not any of these truths, even after you are scattered abroad by persecution and are downcast by many sorrows. When you feel that you are alone in the world, I will know of your isolation, even as, when you are scattered, every man in his own place, leaving the Son of Man in the hands of his enemies, you will know of mine. But I am never alone. Always is the Father with me. Even at such a time, I will pray for you. And all of these things have I told you, that you might have peace and have it more abundantly. In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have triumphed in the world and shown you the way to eternal joy and everlasting service.
Is that not a great consolation
no.
to us?
Mm-hmm.
Pam, you take the next.
Mm-hmm. Jesus gives peace to his fellow doers of the will of God, but not on the order of the joys and satisfactions of this material world. Unbelieving materialists and fatalists can hope to enjoy only two kinds of peace and soul comfort. Either they must be Stoics with steadfast resolution, determined to face the inevitable and to endure the worst, or they must be optimists, even indulging that hope which springs eternal in the human breast, vainly longing for a peace which never really comes.
That pretty much covers it all, doesn't it? I love this picture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a U-shaped table like it actually was. So
mm-hmm.
that's fine. I suffer too. Okay. Rodney, would you take notes?
A certain amount of both stoicism and optimism are serviceable in living a life on earth, but neither has aught to do with that superb peace which the Son of God bestows upon his brethren in the flesh. The peace which Michael gives his children on earth is that very peace which filled his own soul when he himself lived the mortal life in the flesh and on this very world. The peace of Jesus is the joy and satisfaction of a God-knowing individual who has achieved the triumph of learning fully how to do the will of God while living the mortal life in the flesh. The peace of Jesus's mind was founded on an absolute human faith in the actuality of the Divine Father's wise and sympathetic overcare. Jesus had trouble on earth. He has been falsely called the man of sorrows, but in and through all of these experiences, he enjoyed the comfort of that confidence which ever empowered him to proceed with his life purpose in the full assurance that he was achieving the Father's will.
So he experienced the same up and downs as we do, same emotions of those up and downs, right? His life was not a life of ease like people think it was, right? Even though his attitude was different. Gary, do you take the next one?
Jesus was determined, persistent, and thoroughly devoted to the accomplishment of his mission. But he was not an unfeeling and callous Stoic. He ever sought for the cheerful aspects of his life experiences. But he was not a blind and self-deceived optimist. The Master knew all that was to befall him, and he was unafraid. After he had bestowed this peace upon each of his followers, he could consistently say, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid."
And to think about what was coming for Jesus, for him to be unafraid, is amazing.
Yeah, no kidding.
It really was. The peace of Jesus, he is then the peace and assurance of a son who fully believed that his career for time and eternity is safely and wholly in the care and keeping of an all-wise, all-loving, and all-powerful Spirit Father, And this is indeed a peace which passes the understanding of the mortal mind, but which can be enjoyed to the full by the believing human heart. So you can enjoy it yourself, this peace. All right. Letch, would you take the next one, please?
Number two, farewell personal admonitions. The master had finished giving his farewell instructions and imparting his final admonitions to the apostles as a group. He then addressed himself to saying goodbye individually and to giving each a word of personal advice, together with his parting blessing. The apostles were still seated about the table as when they first sat down to partake of the Last Supper, and as the master went around the table talking to them, each man rose to his feet when Jesus addressed him.
Now remember, this was only 11 of them now, right? Because Judas is missing, right? All right, Pam, did you take the next one?
John, Jesus said, you, John, are the youngest of my brethren. You have been very near me, and while I love you all with the same love with which a father bestows upon his sons, you were designated by Andrew as one of the three who should always be near me. Besides this, you have acted for me and must continue so to act in many matters concerning my early family. And I go to the Father, John, having full confidence that you will continue to watch over those who are mine in the flesh. So see to it that their present confusion regarding my mission does not in any way prevent your extending to them all sympathy, counsel, and help, even as you now I would if I were to remain in the flesh. And when they all come to see the light and enter fully into the kingdom, while you all will welcome them joyously, I depend upon you, John, to welcome them for me.
And John did take care of his family, didn't he?
Yes,
after
he did.
Jesus passed. He also was the John Zebedee was the one that wrote the book of Revelation, right? So for that service, Jesus gave him a vision of what to come that no one else enjoyed during a lifetime like that, right? Mm-hmm. So the book of Revelation, even though it's been almost destroyed by the version we have now, it was still what a wonderful thing that Jesus gave John this gift. He lived to what, 100 until he was 103, you know, so he lived a very long life.
He wasn't executed then, was he?
No,
he died of old age. I think it was 103, if I remember correctly.
Amazing.
Yeah, it really is. So, so this, you know, and he was the youngest of the apostles too. So he spent the most time on earth. All right. Rodney, would you take the news?
And now, as I enter upon the closing hours of my earthly career, remain near at hand that I may leave any message with you regarding my family, as concerns the work put in my hands by the Father. It is now finished, except for my death in the flesh, and I am ready to drink this last cup. But as for the responsibilities left to me by my earthly father, Joseph, while I have attended to these during my life, I must now depend upon you to act in my stead in all these matters. And I have chosen you to do this for me, John, because you are the youngest and will therefore very likely outlive these other apostles.
And he did this, that, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Gary, would you take the next?
Once we called you and your brothers, sons, to of thunder. You started out with us strong-minded and intolerant, but you have changed much since you wanted me to call fire down upon the heads of ignorant and thoughtless unbelievers. And you must change yet more. You should become the apostle of the new commandment, which I have this night given you. Dedicate your life to teaching your brethren how to love one another, and even as I have loved you.
And when he was 103 and couldn't hardly talk anymore, what was he told people?
Love one another.
Love one another. But so he followed the master's calling for him, wouldn't he? All right. As John Zebedee stood there in the upper chamber and tears rolling down his cheeks, he looked into the master's face and said, I so will, my master. But how can I learn to love my brethren more? And then answered Jesus, you will learn to love your brethren more when you first learn to love their Father in heaven. And after you have become truly more interested in their welfare in time and eternity, all such human interest is fostered by understanding, sympathy, unselfish service, and unstinted forgiveness. No man should despise your youth, but I exhort you always to give due consideration to the fact that age oftentimes represents experience, and that nothing in human affairs can take the place of actual experience. Strive to live peaceably with all men, especially your friends and the brotherhood of the heavenly kingdom. And John, always remember, strive not with the souls you would win for the kingdom. There's an item you're not going to bring him in any faster by doing that. Letch, would you take the next one?
Okay. And then the master, passing around his own seat, paused a moment by the side of the place of Judas Iscariot. The apostles were rather surprised that Judas had not returned before this, and they were very curious to know the significance of Jesus's sad countenance as he stood by the betrayer's vacant seat. But none of them, except possibly Andrew, entertained even the slightest thought that their treasurer had gone out to betray his master, as Jesus had intimated to them earlier in the evening and during the supper. So much had been going on that, for the time being, they had quite forgotten about the master's announcement that one of them would betray him.
Jesus now went over to Simon Zealots, who stood up and listened to his admonition. You are a true son of Abraham, but what a time I have had trying to make you a son of this heavenly kingdom. I love you, and so do all your and do all of your brethren. I know that you love me, Simon, that you also love the kingdom, but you are still set on making this kingdom come according to your liking. I know full well that you will eventually grasp the spiritual nature and meaning of my gospel, and that you will do valiant work in its proclamation. But I am distressed about what may happen to you when I depart. I would rejoice to know that you would not falter. I would be made happy if I could know that after I go to the Father, you would not cease to be my apostle, and that you would acceptably depart, deport yourself as an ambassador of the heavenly kingdom.
That's exactly what he did. All right, Rodney, take the next.
Jesus had hardly ceased speaking to Simon Zealots when the fiery patriot, drying his eyes, replied, "Master, have no fears for my loyalty. I have turned my back upon everything that I might dedicate my life to the establishment of your kingdom on earth, and I will not falter. I have survived every disappointment so far, and I will not forsake you.
Okay, Gary, would you take the
And then, laying his hands on Simon's shoulders, Jesus said, "It is indeed refreshing to hear you talk like that, especially at such a time as this. But your good friend, you still do. But my good friend, you still do not know what you are talking about. Not for one moment would I doubt your loyalty, your devotion. I know you would not hesitate to go forth in battle and die for me, as all these others would." And they all nodded in vigorous approval. "But that will not be required of you. I have repeatedly told you that my kingdom is not of this world, and that my disciples will not fight to effect this establishment. I have told you this many times, Simon, but you refuse to face the truth. I am not concerned with your loyalty to me and to the kingdom. But what will you do when I go away and you at last wake up to the realization that you have failed to grasp the meaning of my teachings, and that you must adjust your misconceptions to the reality of another and spiritual order of affairs in the kingdom?"
Yep.
That's hard to do, right? Simon wanted to speak further, but Jesus raised his hand and stopped him and went on to say, "None of my apostles are more sincere and honest of heart than you, but not one of them will be so upset and disheartened as you after my departure. In all your discouragement, my spirit shall abide with you, and these, your brethren, will not forsake you. Do not forget what I have taught you regarding the realization of citizenship on earth to sonship in the Father's spiritual kingdom. Ponder well all I have said to you about rendering to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things which are God. Dedicate your life, Simon, to showing how acceptably mortal man may fulfill my injunction concerning the simultaneous recognition of temporal duty to the civil powers and spiritual service in the brotherhood of the kingdom. You will be taught by the Spirit of truth. Never will there be conflict between the requirements of citizen on earth and sonship in heaven, unless the temporal rulers presume to require of you the homage and worship which only belongs to God." And that's exactly what the Caesars kept trying to do, didn't they? Fletch.
Yes. "And now, Simon, when you do finally see all of this, and after you have shaken of your depression and have gone forth proclaiming this gospel in great power, never forget that I was with you even through all of your season of discouragement, and that I will go on with you to the very end. You shall always be my apostle, and after you become willing to see by the eye of the Spirit and more fully to yield your will to the will of the Father in heaven, then will you return to labor as my ambassador, and no one shall take away from you the authority which I have conferred upon you, because of your slowness of comprehending the truths I have taught you. And so, Simon, once more I warn you that they who fight with the sword perish with the sword, while they who labor in the Spirit achieve life everlasting in the kingdom to come with joy and peace in the kingdom, which now is. And when the work given into your hands is finished on earth, you, Simon, shall sit down with me in my kingdom over there. You shall really see the kingdom you have longed for, but not in this life. Continue to believe in me and in that which I have revealed to you, and you shall receive the gift of eternal life.
Okay. When Jesus had finished speaking to Simon Zealots, he stepped over to Matthew Levi and said, "No longer will it devolve upon you to provide for the treasury of the apostolic group. Soon, very soon, you will all be scattered. You will not be permitted to enjoy the comforting and sustaining association of even one of your brethren. As you go onward preaching this gospel of the kingdom, you will have to find for yourselves new associates. I have sent you forth two and two during the times of your training. But now that I am leaving you, after you have recovered from your shock, you will go out alone and to the ends of the earth, proclaiming this good news. The faith-quickened mortals are the sons of God."
We'll take the wrong pathway. Rodney, would you take the next?
Then spoke Matthew, "But Master, who will send us? And how shall we know where to go? Will Andrew show us the way?" And Jesus answered, "No, Levi, Andrew will no longer direct you in the proclamation of the gospel. He will indeed continue as your friend and counselor until that day whereupon the new teacher comes. And then shall the Spirit of truth lead each of you abroad to labor for the extension of the kingdom. Many changes have come over you since that day at the customs house when you first set out to follow me, but many more must come before you will be able to see the vision of a brotherhood in which Gentile sits along Jew in fraternal association. But go on with your urge to win your Jewish brethren until you are fully satisfied, and then turn with power to the Gentiles. One thing you may be certain of, Levi, you have won the confidence and affection of your brethren. They all love you." And all 10 of them signified their acquiescence in the master's words.
They all agree, right? All right, Gary, did you take the notes?
Yes. Levi, I know much about your anxieties, sacrifices, and labors to keep treasury replenished, which your brethren do not know. I am rejoiced that though he who carried the bag is absent, the publican ambassador is here at my farewell gathering with the messengers of the kingdom. I pray that you may discern the meaning of my teachings with the eyes of the Spirit. And when the new teacher comes into your heart, follow on as he will lead you and let your brethren see, even all the world, what the Father can do for a hated tax gatherer who dared to follow the Son of Man and to believe the gospel of the kingdom. Even from the first, Levi, I loved you as I did these other Galileans, knowing then so well that neither the Father nor the Son has respect of persons. See to it that you make no such
distinctions.
Thank you. I'm trying to say that. Distinctions among those who become believers in the gospel through your ministry. And so, Matthew, dedicate your whole future life service to showing all men that God is no respecter a person that in the sight of God and in the fellowship of the kingdom, all men are equal. All believers are the sons of God.
That is true
This
even
messenger
today.
he's referring to is the spirit of truth, correct? This teacher?
Right. Yes, that's right. Jesus then stepped over to James Zebedee, who stood in silence as the master addressed him, saying, James, when you and your younger brother once came to me seeking preferment and the honors of the kingdom, and I told you such honors were for the Father to bestow, I asked you if you were able to drink my cup, and both of you answered that you were. Even if you were not then able, and if you are not now able, you will soon be prepared for such a service by the experience you are about to pass through. By such behavior, you angered your brethren at the time. If they had not already fully forgiven you, they will when they see you drink my cup. In other words, they'll be sacrificed too. They'll be crucified. Whether your ministry be long or short, possess your soul in patience. When the new teacher comes, let him teach you the poise of compassion and that sympathetic tolerance which is born of sublime confidence in me and a perfect submission to the Father's will. Dedicate your life to the demonstration of that combined human affection and divine dignity of the God-knowing, son-believing disciple. And all who thus live will reveal the gospel in the manner of their death. You and your brother John will go different ways. And if you will, and one of you will sit down with me in the eternal kingdom long before the other. It would help you much if you would learn the true wisdom embraces discretion as well as courage. You should learn sagacity to go along with your aggressiveness. There will come those supreme moments wherein my disciples will not hesitate to lay down their lives for this gospel. But in all ordinary circumstances, it would be far better to placate the wrath of the unbelievers that you might live and continue preaching the God, glad tidings. As far as lies in your power, live long on the earth that your life of many years may be fruitful and souls won for the heavenly kingdom. In other words, don't just sacrifice your life, right?
Is
All
it
right,
true?
let's.
Am I correct that these two young men basically went home and said, "What do I do now?"
Well, no, because one of them was crucified on the cross. The other became the older Zebedee, John Zebedee, that wrote the book of Revelation. So one of them died very young and the other died very, very old. All right. So that's what he was talking about. Okay. All right. Let's, would you take?
When the master had finished speaking to James Zebedee, he stepped around to the end of the table where Andrew sat and, looking his faithful helper in the eyes, said, "Andrew, you have faithfully represented me as acting head of the ambassadors of the heavenly kingdom. Although you have sometimes doubted and at other times manifested dangerous timidity, still, you have always been sincerely just and eminently fair in dealing with your associates. Ever since the ordination of you and your brethren as messengers of the kingdom, you have been self-governing in all group administrative affairs, except that I designated you as the acting head of these chosen ones. In no other temporal matter have I acted to direct or to influence your decisions, and this I did in order to provide for leadership in the direction of your subsequent group deliberations. In my universe and in my Father's universe of universes, our brethren sons are dealt with as individuals in all their spiritual relations, but in all group relationships we unfairly provide for definite leadership. Our kingdom is a realm of order, and where two or more will creatures act in cooperation. There is always provided the authority of leadership.
So you don't go around blind, right? There's always someone to tell you what to do. Pam, would you take the next, please?
And now, Andrew, since you are the chief of your brethren by authority of my appointment, and since you have thus served as my personal representative, and as I am about to leave you and go to my father, I release you from all responsibility as regards these temporal and administrative affairs. From now on, you may exercise no jurisdiction over your brethren except that which you have earned in your capacity as spiritual leader, and which your brethren therefore freely recognize. From this hour, you may exercise no authority over your brethren unless they restore such jurisdiction to you by their definite legislative action after I shall have gone to the Father. But this release from responsibility as the administrative head of this group does not in any way, in any manner, lessen your moral responsibility to do everything in your power to hold your brethren together with a firm and loving hand during the trying time just ahead. Those days which must intervene between my departure in the flesh and the sending of the new teacher who will live in your hearts and who ultimately will lead you into all truth. As I prepare to leave you, I would liberate you from all administrative responsibility which had its inception and authority in my presence as one among you. Henceforth, I shall exercise only spiritual authority over you and among you.
So he relieved Andrew of the responsibility of everything Rodney.
If your brethren desire to retain you as their counselor, I direct that you should, in all matters temporal and spiritual, do your utmost to promote peace and harmony among the various groups of sincere gospel believers. Dedicate the remainder of your life to promoting the practical aspects of brotherly love among your brethren. Be kind to my brothers in the flesh when they come fully to believe this gospel. Manifest loving and impartial devotion to the Greeks in the West and to Abner in the East. Although these, my apostles, are soon going to be scattered to the four corners of the earth, there to proclaim the good news of the salvation of sonship with God, you are to hold them together during the trying time just ahead, that season of intense testing during which you must learn to believe this gospel without my personal presence, while you patiently await the arrival of the new teacher, the Spirit of Truth. And so, Andrew, though it may not fall to you to do the great works as seen by men, be content to be the teacher and counselor of those who do such things. Go on with your work on earth to the end, and then shall you continue this ministry in the eternal kingdom. For have I not many times told you that I have other sheep, not of this flock?
So he has plans for everybody, right? Gary, would you take the next?
Jesus then went over to the Theus twins, and standing between them said, these are the ones I thought went back home.
Yeah, these are the ones that went back to their old lives.
Yeah. My little children, you are one of the three groups of brothers who chose to follow me after me. All six of you have done well to work in peace with our own flesh and blood, but none have done better than you. Hard times are just ahead of us. You may not understand all that will befall you and your brethren, but never doubt that you were once called to the work of the kingdom. So for some time, there will be no multitudes to manage. But do not become discouraged. When your life work is finished, I will receive you on high, excuse me, where in glory you shall tell of your salvation of seraphic hosts.
Yeah, to the seraphic hosts. Yes.
To seraphic
the angels.
hosts.
Yeah.
And to multitudes of the high sons of God. Dedicate your lives to the enhancement of commonplace toil. Show all men on earth and the angels of heaven how cheerful and courageous mortal man can, after having been called to work for a season in the special service of God, return to the labors of former days. If, for the time being, your work in the outward affairs of the kingdom should be comprehended, you should go
completed. Should be completed.
Completed. You should go back to your former labors in the new enlightenment of the experience of sonship with God, with the exalted realization that to him who is God knowing, there is no such thing as common labor or secular toil. To you who have worked with me, all things have become sacred and all earthly labor has become a service even to God the Father. And when you hear the news of the doings of your former apostolic associates, rejoice with them and continue your daily work as those who wait upon God and serve while they wait. You have been my apostles, and you always shall be, and I will remember you in the kingdom to come.
So
he basically told them to go back to their old ways.
Yeah, you know, and we all go through this, you know, as we get older and our service for God has dwindled down. Many times we go back to the things we were doing before. I'm going to have to do that shortly myself. But in doing that, we must live our lives just as if we're serving God like you were before. In other words, because you're just waiting for your time to end on earth, and then you go on with your job, whatever it will be in the mansion world. So even though you're not doing direct service anymore, you still live your life as a son of God and continue on, right? All of us will go through this, right? So it's a good lesson for all of us. And then when Jesus went over to Philip, who's standing up, heard this message from his master, Philip, you have asked me many foolish questions. Yeah. But I have done my utmost to always to answer every one. And now would I answer the last of such questions which have arisen in your most honest and unspiritual mind. All the time I have been coming around toward you, you have been saying to yourself, what shall I ever do if the master goes away and leaves us alone in the world? Oh, you of little faith, and yet you have almost as much faith as your brethren. You have been a good steward, Philip. You failed us only a few times, and the one of those failures we all utilized to manifest the Father's glory. Your office of stewardship is about to be over. You must Soon more fully do the work you were called to do, the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. Philip, you have always wanted to be shown, and very soon you shall see great things. Far better that you should have seen all of this by faith, but since you were sincere, even your material sightedness, you will live to see my words fulfilled. And when you are blessed with spiritual vision, go forth to your work. Dedicate your life to the cause of leading mankind to search for God and to seek eternal realities with the eye of spiritual faith and not with the eyes of the material mind. Remember, Philip, you have a great mission on earth, for the world is filled with those who look his life just as you have tended to do. You have a great work to do, and when it is finished in faith, you will come to me in the kingdom, and I will take great pleasure in showing you that which eye has not seen, ear heard, nor the mortal mind conceived. In the meantime, become as a little child in the kingdom of the Spirit, and permit me, as the spirit of the new teacher, to lead you forward in the spiritual kingdom. And in this way, you will be able to do much. I will be able to do much for you, which was I was not able to accomplish when I sojourned with you as a mortal in the realm. And always remember, Philip, he who has seen me has seen the Father. Pretty heavy. All right, Letch, would you take the next
one? Okay. Then went the master over to Nathanael. As Nathanael stood up, Jesus bade him be seated, and sitting down by his side, said, Nathanael, you have learned to live above prejudice and to practice increased tolerance since you became my apostle. But there is much more for you to learn. You have been a blessing to your fellows in that they have always been admonished by your consistent sincerity. When I have gone, it may be that your frankness will interfere with your getting along well with your brethren, both old and new. You should learn that the expression of even a good thought must be modulated in accordance with the intellectual status and spiritual development of the hearer. Sincerity is most serviceable in the work of the kingdom when it is wedded to discretion.
And that's a good, it's good for us to know.
Very wise.
Yes, it is. And I want to mention here, since we're near the ending time, that we're going to continue on. We got about, I think, 11 more slides. We're going to try to finish this so we don't break it up. This is Jesus talking to the apostles. All right. Penny, did you take the next?
If you would learn to work with your brethren, you might accomplish more permanent things. But if you find yourself going off in quest of those who think as you do, in the event, dedicate your life to proving that the God-knowing disciple can become a kingdom builder, even when alone in the world and wholly isolated from his fellow believers. I know you will be faithful to the end, and I will someday welcome you to the enlarged service of my kingdom on high.
And that's exactly what we have to do daily, right? Go on alone, work. Rodney.
Then Nathanael spoke, asking Jesus this question. I have listened to your teaching ever since you first called me to the service of this kingdom, but I honestly cannot understand the full meaning of all you tell us. I do not know what to expect next, and I think most of my brethren are likewise perplexed, but they hesitate to confess their confusion. Can you help me? Jesus, putting his hand on Nathanael's shoulder, said, My friend, it is not strange that you should encounter perplexity in your attempt to grasp the meaning of my spiritual teachings, since you are so handicapped by your preconceptions of Jewish tradition and so confused by your persistent tendency to interpret my gospel in accordance with the teachings of the scribes and Pharisees.
And today's population have the same problem, only it's the teachings of Paul we have to deal with,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Gary, would you like to take the next one?
I have told you much by word of mouth, and I have lived my life among you. I have done all that can be done to enlighten your minds and liberate your souls, and what you have not been able to get from my teaching and my life, you must now prepare to acquire at the hands of that master of all teachers, actual experience. And in all of this new experience which now awaits you, I will go before you, and the spirit of truth shall be with you. Fear not that which you now fail to comprehend. The new teacher, when he has come, will reveal to you throughout the remainder of your life on earth and on through your training in the eternal ages.
Hope for all of us. And then the master, turning to them, all of them, said, "Be not dismayed that you fail to grasp the full meaning of the gospel. You are but finite mortal men, and that which I have taught you is infinite, divine, and eternal. Be patient and of good courage, since you have the eternal ages before you in which to continue your progressive attainment of the experience of becoming perfect, even as your Father in paradise is perfect." So
Well,
don't be discouraged. We got a
be
long way to
patient.
go and lots of
Right.
time to get there, right?
Yeah.
Blet, would you take the next one?
And then Jesus went over to Thomas, who, standing up, heard him say, "Thomas, you have often lacked faith. However, when you have had your seasons with doubt, you have never lacked courage. I know well that the false prophets and spurious teachers will not deceive you. After I have gone, your brethren will be the more appreciate your critical way of viewing new teachings. And when you all are scattered to the ends of the earth in the times to come, remember that you are still my ambassador. Dedicate your life to the great work of showing how the critical material mind of man can triumph over the inertia of intellectual doubting when faced by the demonstration to the of the manifestation of living truth as it operates in the experience of spirit-born men and women who yield the fruits of the spirit in their lives and who love one another even as I have loved you. Thomas, I am glad you joined us, and I know after a short period of perplexity, you will go on in the service of the kingdom. Your doubts have perplexed your brethren, but they have never troubled me. I have confidence in you, and I will go before you even to the uttermost parts of the earth."
And isn't it true
Encouraging.
that in our lives today, all the intellectual garbage that we get thrown at from the internet and TV and everything else has a way of confusing you? And to stay right online with your spiritual values sometimes is difficult and it's hard.
Yeah, it is.
All right, Pam, would you take the next one?
Then the master went over to Simon Peter, who stood up as Jesus addressed him. "Peter, I know you love me and that you will dedicate your life to the public proclamation of this gospel of the kingdom to Jew and Gentile. But I am distressed that your years of such close association with me have not done more to help you think before you speak. What experience must you pass through before you will learn to set a guard upon your lips? How much trouble have you made for us by your thoughtless speaking, by your presumptuous self-confidence? And you are destined to make much more trouble for yourself if you do not master this frailty. You know that your brethren love you in spite of this weakness, and you should also understand that this shortcoming in no way impairs my affection for you, but it lessens your usefulness and never ceases to make trouble for you, but you will undoubtedly receive great help from the experience you will pass through this very night. And what I know, and what I now say to you, Simon Peter, I likewise say to all your brethren here assembled, this night you will all be in great danger of stumbling over me. You know it is written, the shepherd will be smitten and the sheep will be scattered abroad. When I am absent, there is greater danger that some of you will succumb to doubts and succumb because of what befalls me. But I promise you now that I will come back to you for a little while and that I will then go before you into Galilee.
I mean, they'll all know what happened to Peter, and this is where it comes up right now, right? Rodney, would you take this one?
Then said Peter, placing his hand on Jesus' shoulder, no matter if all my brethren should succumb to doubts because of you, I promise that I will not stumble over anything you may do. I will go with you, and if need be, die for you.
Go ahead and take the next one too, Rodney, since I was so short.
As Peter stood there before his master, all a-tremble with intense emotion and overflowing with genuine love for him, Jesus looked straight into his moistened eyes as he said, Peter, verily, verily, I say to you, this night the cock will not crow until you have denied me 3 or 4 times. And thus, what you have failed to learn from peaceful association with me, you will learn through much trouble and many sorrows. And after you have really learned this needful lesson, you should strengthen your brethren and go on living a life dedicated to preaching this gospel. Though you may fall into prison and perhaps follow me in paying the supreme price of loving service in the building of the Father's kingdom.
Know what happened to him? He was crucified upside down, wasn't he? Gary, would you take the next?
But remember my promise. When I am raised up, I will tarry with you for a season before I go to the Father. And even this night will I make supplication to the Father that he strengthen each of you for that which you must now so soon pass through. I love you all with the love wherewith the Father loves me. And therefore, should you henceforth love one another as even as I have loved you.
And this is the chart that's in the slides. Y'all can look at your leisure, and what their positions were, and it lists their mode of death, how they each died. So you can look at theirs. There's two
Wow.
slides to 12. So y'all can look up these slides, and it tells you what their position and all that is. I love it. Interesting for y'all to have. And then when they had sung a hymn, they departed for the camp on the Mount of Olives. All right. And next is the scene in the Garden of Gethsemane. So if y'all have time, pull the slides down and look at that chart. It's got a lot of information on it for the 12 apostles, how each one died and that sort of thing. I put that together, gosh, back in 2011. Thanks.
That's
Thanks.
great.
All right, let me
Thank you,
stop
Roger.
this share. You're welcome. Let me stop the share and share the prayer. Right. Pam, who's up?
Roger, you are.
Oh, okay. Prayer of acceptance. I believe that God is my paradise father, and only by faith am I saved. No sacrifice is necessary. By the same faith, I became a child of God and know that all men and women are my brothers and sisters. We know the Son of God, the sovereign of our universes of Nebadon is Christ Michael, Jesus of Nazareth. By allowing the will of God to become my will, I will someday stand in the presence of the Paradise Father in the name of Christ Michael, Jesus of Nazareth. Amen.
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 Thank you all for sticking with us, and we will see you everybody Tuesday. All right.
You.
All right.
Thank you so
Have a
much.
good weekend.
Yeah, good weekend. Good
Okay.
night.
Y'all too. Bye, everybody.
I'll see
Bye.
you.
Bye.